May 5, 2021, it's Watt for Pedro Show.
to be my lover. Didn't think this would corrupt her. I heard of all the others, but I didn't think that we would fail.
Show. Happy Wednesday. Start out with John Coltrane, Derek Dolphy. Live in Copenhagen, 1961. I think Reggie Workman on the bass of Jimmy Garrison. But Coy Tyner and Elvin Jones joining them for Naima. And then Benjamin Jane, Broken Fables. People, Brother Matt, about to love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south. Still quite in quarantino mode, but not totally man alone because those software engineers, Estonian Skype invention, I got Benjamin Jane. Welcome aboard.
Amen.
Now, should I say Benjamin Jane or should I say Ben Wright?
If you're talking about the band, you could say Benjamin Jane. You know, that's a combination of my name and my sister's name. And since this is a collaboration, we figured we'd just combine our names.
Okay, so I can call you Ben Wright now, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Ben. I just checking. It's beautiful stuff you sent me. And I want to check out your journey through music. Let's go as far back as you can remember. Bring your earliest recollection.
All right.
Regard music.
Yeah. My earliest memory of music would have been 1984. I was 4 years old, and Purple Rain had just come out, and I'm the youngest of six.
But you're talking about the movie or the record?
The record.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my youngest memory of music. My older sibling, one of my sisters, got that record, and I was a little four-year-old listening to that spin.
Did you ever see the movie?
I don't think I did.
Okay, there's a lady in there, a character, kind of showbiz name, Apollonia. But she's actually Patty Cotera. She went to the same high school I did here in Pedro, maybe a year or two behind me.
Oh, okay.
Just a little factoid. So, 4 years old, but those things can have big consequence, you know? You never know.
Yeah.
Where was this where you grew up?
I grew up in Pennsylvania. It was about 45 minutes west of Philadelphia.
Okay. Was there a
real small town?
In the pad you grew up, was there music instruments?
Yeah, absolutely. All over the place.
Oh, yep. Wow. So the family was musical.
Yeah, it goes back, as far back as the individuals that I've met, my family, my grandparents, my grandfather played trombone and back in the day, like the big band, traveling big bands.
Yeah, the Bone, bass clef.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. The big bands. You know, I was reading about 1939, there was 30,000 fucking big bands touring the U.S.
Is that right?
Can you believe the competition?
Jesus.
Shit.
Yeah.
People say it's rough now. But
that's a small city.
But anyway, so was there? Did you jump on any of those instruments, young?
Yeah, I did. We had a piano in the house, and it's hard not to go towards a piano when you're a kid because it's really percussive, and you can just give it a whack, and it makes makes some noise. So that's the first one I remember really getting into.
And were you assigned some lesson?
Yeah, well, my mom actually was a piano teacher.
So she was your teacher?
Yeah, she taught me for a while when I was a kid.
How was the experience? Because guests on the show, it can be everything from okay to like, this almost made me want to quit music.
No, it was absolutely fine. No, she was great. I mean, I have two kids myself, and they want to be musicians too, and I've tried them a little bit, but I don't think I could teach them. I don't think I have the patience for my own kids, and I don't think they have the patience for me. My mom is great. Like there was no problem there.
I can relate. You know, when I was more younger, I ended up teaching a few women how to drive manual shift transmission because their fathers or brothers could not handle it. No patience.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I had maybe it's a kind of bass player politics or something. You got to make it fit, right? You got to make it work.
Yeah.
So what about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Yeah, I was in everything I could get into music wise. I started fourth grade in our elementary school. They let you pick an instrument, so I picked snare drum, I think it was, and did that for like a year or two before I kind of fell out of favor with that one and went to saxophone. And then I played saxophone in the concert band up until we could expand to jazz band, and then I did jazz band, concert band, and I did chorus for a little while.
We're talking alto?
Yeah. Yeah, alto.
Okay. And so you learned how to read and shit, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you did that with your mom.
When I was five.
Piano,
yeah.
Right, that's you never know what an asset that is until you're less younger.
Yeah.
So it's good to have it pounded into your fucking head. That's why I think. What was the first record, Ben, you bought with your own money?
It was The Cure, Standing on the Beach.
And what was the first gig you went and saw?
Grateful Dead. 1992, March of 1992, with Spectrum Philadelphia.
Big show, right? Damn.
Yeah.
For your first gig.
Yeah, my sister, who's, she's got to be maybe 8 years older than me, 9 years older than me. She took me, and my mom, thank God, she let me go. And I remember when I was in sixth grade, and my favorite Grateful Dead song at that time was Boxerine, and they opened with it. Man, I was blown away. It was just great.
Now, was your sister a spinner?
Was she a spinner? No.
Because I've never been to a gig, but I heard about that. They'll have an area, or they did have an area for spinners.
Yeah. No, she was far from it. She was just doing me a favor.
I mean, there's like dervishes do that. I mean, it's it's more than Grateful Dead things, but it's something to be.
Yeah.
Blown away. So. What about guitar? You finally get on that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now how'd that happen?
Let's see here. Well, I guess two ways. My dad was a guitar player.
Ah, okay.
And he is a guitar player. Well, I mean, at this point, he has it in the closet. He pulls it out when I visit him, once a year, just to kind of do a little round and whatnot. But he played in a couple bands in college and recorded a few records. So he had them around, and I saw him noodling here and there. But and then I don't remember. I'm pretty sure the first time I got a guitar was my mom married. My parents divorced when I was like two, and she remarried the music director at the school that she was working at. She was teaching at, and then so he was a blues player, a blues guitar player, and he gigged every week, and he had a bunch of guitars, and he knew that I had a big interest. So he said, if you learn how to play this lick, in somebody, a couple of days or whatever it was, I'll give you I'll give you this guitar. And I did, and he gave me my first guitar, and it was, Silvertone, Sears Silvertone guitars?
Silvertone, Dan Electro, right, but then Silvertone when they made them for Sears. And I call that a fucking bargain, man.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those that had the amplifier built into the
right,
case.
Right, in the case, yeah, but just for learning a lick, that's good. You're going to have to do that anyway. Do you remember what the lick was?
I don't know. Okay. I think it was just some basic blues riff that, he was, probably something in E with a little pentatonic move, right. Probably something like that.
All right, okay. I want to play Silent Mind.
Go for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
To the floor. The door shuts, yet the howling persists. Ain't gonna teach me the difference between shit and shits.
If you want me sour, you want me sour, you better call me now. Yeah, you want me.
Like I used to just lay down in a room for 5 or 6 hours just alone. Just lay in that bed and get something back. Some kind of juice. Just being away from people is one of the most marvelous fulfillments a man like me can have.
Start out thinking from
Rock for Pedro show, that chunk of music started with Benjamin Jane doing Silent Mind. Then we had Puppet Midnight, and this is a title, people. Puppets run the circus, but the ringmaster knows the score. I love the way it's all bass, too. Brand new SLWCC Watt, The Shits, from their Real Manic Time. Brand new album. Super Freak after that, from Italy, My Lady the Frog. Vamos Prenda now, the DC area, with Rendered from the Past. Tommy Dahill from Alaska with K-N-I-F sharp, E sharp. Get it? It's kind of an acronym for knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Ramon Moro Quartet, great trumpet man out of Italy, with Love's Uncertainty. I Just Want to Be Left the Fuck Alone from Deep in the Woods, 66. That's Tommy O'Sullivan in Dublin with kind of a personal sentiment. And then finally, Benjamin Jane, The Illusory Fair. And, yeah, spelled like we do, which is the confusing way. Anyway, back to your church. What about, now I'm not talking after school, like graduate, but like in the afternoon, do you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band trip with your buddies?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have, my first band was a punk band, and I guess I was probably in eighth grade. I was in a punk band. I was playing I can't remember if I was playing the bass or the guitar on that one.
Oh, you jumped on the bass too. How'd that happen?
Yeah. You know, you just played what was around. That's how we grew up. Everybody.
There was a bass in the band too. Oh, you mean some of your buddies had a bass?
Yeah, some of my buddies had a bass, and then some of the places we hung out just had instruments that were just lying around. You picked up what was available. So,
what'd you think, man?
It was a real artsy community.
Yeah, but what'd you think about the bass? Did you think it was trippy having these big fucking strings?
It was a transition, but I dug it. I still dig it. Okay. Yeah, I love playing the bass. I played the bass in a few bands in my life.
Oh wow! Okay. If somebody, you know, unknown to music, asked you the difference, what would you say between that and a guitar?
That's a good question. Well, the way I play it is completely different.
Well, that's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, and then also you're doing a lot of, counterpoint. You're doing a lot of like linear movements with the bass, walking through scales, you know.
Right. So some composition. That's interesting. That's the Carol K approach, because some people, it's just licks, right? They say bass lines, mm-hmm. But she says, no, man, you're doing arpeggios of chords.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting that you picked up on that. That's great. I think it's good to know both. You know, why not?
Yeah.
It's all fucking vocabulary, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this first band you were in, was it just a practice band or did you do gigs?
It was just in the basement, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, were you, like, copying songs off records or were you trying to write new material?
No, we did all of our own stuff.
Ah, great.
Yeah.
That's bitching.
So.
I love that. Yeah. You know, it seems after the 70s, there was a lot more of that shit. When me and D-Boom were growing up, there was none of that.
And you just doing covers until you did your own thing?
Nobody wrote their own songs. No one thought of music as expression. It was more like building models, you know, copying the dude. I think it was part of arena rock, you know. You're at those gigs. It ain't like a club where you could, hey, I could be there, you know. It's just different. It's just, so what band were you in that actually first did a gig?
Let's see here. That would be probably, and the names were not the best. That's my Achilles heel names of bands. It was called Great Society.
Oh, okay. That's optimistic. Especially for kids and shit. That's... Wow, yeah. And so what was the first gig like?
I'm trying to remember the first gig. I guess the first gig would have been Now, I'm trying to, you know, my facts may be a little bit off of what, you know, with a gig or two, but I think it was a friend of mine would throw these parties, and he was a bit older than me, a small town, so we knew everybody, and he was like 25, and I was probably like 15, and he would throw these parties, and he'd set up this huge stage in the backyard, and had over 100 people, and wow. So it was either like one of his summer shows or one of his winter shows where it was in the basement. I thought it might have been one of the first shows we ever did.
You know what? Summer is kind of sweaty in Pennsylvania. It was
yeah, it is.
On the humid level, it's up there with Florida.
Yeah, my brother's, he was in a punk rock band too, and their name aptly describes the summers down there. They were called Swamp Ass.
I mean, terrible. It can be 70 degrees and you're dying, man. So, mm-hmm. so was the gig a success? I mean, they didn't throw shit.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It was definitely a success. I think the first one was in the basement, and we were, I think we just went for it, man. I think I was a silly, kid on the, you know, just loving life and playing a gig and high on it. And I think I did a guitar solo with my teeth, and yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Jimmy! I got Pennsylvania Jimmy story, a little one. Charles Bukowski's wife lives in Pedro's still.
Oh, yeah.
And she's from Philly, and she told me she smoked a Lenyo with Jimmy. She was really young. It was before she came to Cali. But yeah, Linda Bukowski.
Yeah, I love his books, too.
Yeah. He spent his last 14 years here. He liked Pedro.
Yeah, good.
So okay. What about recording? Did you get into that shit, like getting a four-track, a cassette?
Yeah, we had a bunch of different ways to do it. I had a guitar teacher who had, you know, old tape. I forget what you call it, but it was wide tape, probably an inch, inch and a half tape. I forget what that format was called. And we did some recording at his place during my lessons. I'd bring my songs over, and he'd lay it down for me. And then what was the other stuff? We had what do we have? I guess we had some of the old, what was it, 808s and things like that. And we had a bunch of gear like that, and did some digital, had some digital devices. I don't remember exactly what they were, but we had a few different mediums, a few different types. Yeah.
But so. It wasn't just you playing for him. He was teaching you too.
What's that?
I mean, it wasn't just you, like, playing your music and him recording. Was he showing you how he was recording you and shit like that? Were you learning off of him?
No, my teacher didn't teach me, like, recording tricks. He actually ran the show for me, and I just recorded.
Oh, okay.
But then on our own, we, you know, with my friends, we had a couple different ways to record, and one of them was four-track. It was definitely a four-track. Pretty straightforward. You know, maybe four or eight inputs, and we'd just mic up a room and we'd record, you know, jam sessions or whatever.
Right, like in front of the microphones. Did you ever use it yourself, man alone, to like build tunes, sound on sound?
Yeah. I did a solo record when I was 22, and yeah, I did that. I did all the tracks myself and build on top of everything I was doing, and that's how I do a lot of it now too.
Yeah, but your beginnings was right then. Oh, okay, that's great. Yeah. So you've been doing it a while.
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah,
well, you know, I'm finding more and more music cats are learning how to record themselves. The gulf in between recording and recorders is getting smaller. And the gear's getting more econo, too, you know, way more affordable.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to, you know, it's a mixed bag. It's great to have that ability to do it at home, and the quality is pretty solid, but then also it means you're pinching out a lot of these really cool recording studios that aren't able to compete with those, you know, econo costs.
Yeah, but, you're right.
Yeah.
Like most things human, there's a couple sides to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, that's the reality on the dealio. But you know, it's all vocabulary. If you're learning the skills, skills are skills, right? And so I'm glad you got it. And I am running into more and more people that can do that. Us Minutemen were so afraid. In the older days, or more older days, it was like, there was a huger gulf. So it was like, I don't want to fuck it up, so let them handle it.
But yeah, yeah, they did.
Okay, so you made a whole album in your early 20s?
Yeah, with the band, we made one when we were... the first one we did was when I was 17 or 18, and then my solo one when I was about 22. I did an EP when I was 19 and to 20, and then an LP when I was about 22. Oh, yeah.
That's great. I was 22 when we started the Minutemen.
Is that right? Well, you did a lot more with that than I did with my stuff.
It's just the way things work. Or don't work.
I got to tell you, Watt, you were a part of my music soup when I was growing up.
Okay. Guilty.
You were in my collection, man.
Okay, guilty as
charged. Dead and Open, and,
Guilty as charged. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo, people. 2021 Dish Watt Peter Show, special guest Ben Wright. Hold tight for hour two. May 5th, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Wilting all over my garden. Water's not anywhere to be found. Dark skies, I wish you'd come my way again. Dark skies, I wish you'd come my way again. Dark skies, I think that I understand.
Don't let them take me away. just let me stay. I'll be so tranquil, I swear. Time can slip by me, behind me, I won't even care. Just try to breathe, try to believe, there's no guarantee that it's really me. So don't let them take me away.
I'm sorry. from above, rain is soothing and ground. Send down from above, rain is pouring down. Send down from above, the thirsty roots buried deep. Send down from above, the garden that you used to keep. Since you've been gone, your garden lies untended. Weeds are overgrown, the fences all need mending. Since you've been gone, become the hallowed ground to sing you a song, but I can't make a sound. Since you've been gone, the hallowed ground to sing you a song. Yeah, I wish you were around. Since you've been gone, your garden lies untended. Your weeds are overgrown, the fences are mended.
For Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Benjamin Jane doing Dark Skies. Ben Salter out of Tasmania after that with Improvisation. Lucas Abella out of Sydney, not in my area. Dexter Rob Weber duo. He's had a band, Flat Duo Jets, a great band. And this is good, too. Roll On. Flies On You with In-N-Out. I guess like the burger. But they ain't got those back east, right? In-N-Out's a west.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Benjamin, they use towels to soak the grease out of the french fries. Benjamin Jane, finally, after that, with Sent Down From Above. Yeah. Essentials phonology. So, tell me, how did Benjamin Jane get going? You and your sister. My sister's, like, 8 years is big when you're kids.
Oh, so I have five sisters, and she's, well, I have four blood, you know, blood sisters in one step, but the one I did this record with is the youngest of the girls. So she's actually only 3.5 years older than me or so.
Okay.
How do we get going? Yeah. She lives over in Barcelona, and she's been there since 99, I guess. And we just realized, you know, we were playing phone tag and trying to find, you know, we're struggling to connect with one another because I have a career here and I'm pretty busy with work and I got kids and then the time difference is pretty big. And so, we just came up with the idea, well, you know, let's just make some tunes together and that'll give us, you know, every other Sunday or every Sunday, we'll, it's our excuse to ensure that at 1 o'clock, you know, we book time and we talk and say, you know, how's that part going? What are you working on? Et cetera. So really it was just about us, making music and talking on the phone.
Can you remember the first tune you guys did together?
Boxing Gloves.
Boxing Gloves. And like who went first?
Well, she brought it to the table. She'd already written that one and she wanted me to, she's been kind of pushing the work. She wanted me to sing and do kind of the instrumentation, more than she was doing. And so she brought that to the table and it was about, we lost our stepfather like 2 years before we started working on this record. And that song was about his, you know, her feelings about his passing away. It was like a song about grief. So she brought that and said, you know, I'd love for you to do that one. That was the first one we did.
And when she brought lyrics or she brought a melody? Does she make a demo? I mean, how's that work?
That one, she brought the whole, she had the lyrics, she had the melody, she had the
whole enchilada.
I think she may have had like a rough recording of it and sent it to me via email.
Yeah.
And then I just redid the whole thing.
And did she ends up playing on that version that you create?
Yeah, she did backup vocals. She did miscellaneous percussion in the background, and there's a little intro, like some sort of stringed instrument that's in the intro that she did. I forget what it was. She was a part of that one too.
Like a Barcelona instrument?
I don't know what it was.
There's a lot of good people making music out of that town. It's a
hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really, really interesting place. I know a couple of cats. I know some cats from Chile who moved there and set up a studio and mastering house and all. And a lot of stuff happening out of there. Huh. So you're saying once a week would be the phone call and like, how you doing on what I last sent you? Are you ready for more? Stuff like that?
Yeah. It would be a video. We would do like a video chat and, just catch up on where we were on the music and where we were personally. And it was just, we'd hang out for an hour or 2 hours on the phone. And, if we were feeling productive, we would get into that about, you know, we'd work on what needs to be done or what we were excited about. And if we were not feeling it, we would just talk about how the week was. Yeah.
Okay. Now the album, was there a big picture of it, or was it going to be just a collection of tunes, you know, piece by piece?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. There was no big picture. There was no plan to release anything. We had zero intention of...
Oh, really? You weren't even planning on releasing it? Oh, okay.
No.
Wow, that's a trip.
It was absolutely just her and I just getting together and creating work, you know, and talking and making music. That's all the intention was. And, they just started, I don't know when it was that we kind of sat back and we heard a couple tunes and I think I, you know, I just realized we weren't embarrassed by it. You know,
Okay, I want to play All Will Wash Away.
Good.
Doesn't matter what you think, it'll be broken down. Doesn't matter what you say, truth will be spoken.
All that we praise, all that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to John Scully on the drums, electronics, all that jazz. Is that Rebecca Yodi out there? Hello! Hello!
I never heard of them.
Thank you.
talk show. All Will Wash Away, Benjamin Jane. Then D-U-M-E with Flight Risk. And Dual Decimal System. That's Brother Al out of Providence. And Dual Decimal System from Cleveland. It Only Hurts. And finally, The Sky Has Fallen, Benjamin Jane. So the tunes are kind of connected because, it's this idea of long distance connect through music. But it, like, each episode of that is its own little world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't want to assume, so I'm asking you.
Each episode of each call that we had or each tune?
Yeah. But, no, because sometimes the calls didn't really result in tunes, right?
Oh, right.
But sometimes it was like, fuck it. Just going to talk about the week, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, like, it was blank slate. All will wash away. Like, that motherfucker's washed away. Now we're on to The Sky Has Fallen.
Well, we kind of, it wasn't once done and over. It was, we actually, some of them would come together pretty quick. And other ones would take a while, you know, because the way we did it was, because we had this guy, Drew, that was involved too, Drew Skinner.
Yeah.
And he was involved in doing production and some of the instrumentation too. So it would, sometimes it would take us, you know, months to get one tune together. So we'd be kind of leapfrogging from song to song at times.
Oh,
depending
okay.
on what needed to get, yeah, so depending on what needed to get done and who was working on what.
Like there was parallel universes going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
Different planets around the sun. Yeah, and Drew, he gave you guys some kind of perspective, some outside force for the trees trip?
I'd say he pulled it together a bit, yeah. He definitely brings an element that I think makes, you know, that really helps launch it a bit. He comes from an electronic background, and he listens to, you know, he's big into Amon Tobin and Aphex Twins and Boards of Canada, and so he has a lot of electronic background. So that those elements were brought in by him, and it really kind of mixed interestingly with what we were doing acoustically.
You know, it sounds to me like music is music. You don't give a goddamn about, everything's meant to aid and abet the tune. So you don't care about the genre shit. Yeah. Because I noticed, and I think it just shows more open-mindedness to people, so you don't have to get so hung up on that shit.
Yep.
You know, why can't it be a guy with electronics with a guy with acoustic guitar? Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
And for us, it just works. For us, it just works. I mean, it works for us. We've loved what we've been doing, you know, what comes out of what we do.
Yeah. There's some people when they're talking, they got to give name. You know, this is, you know, it's really funny. Some of these subdivisions of hardcore, power violence.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, power violence. What the fuck is that? You know, versus dirge versus crust versus, you know.
I had no idea that those nuances existed until last year, and I was blown away. You know.
Well, they'd be in the back of the Maximum Rock and Roll, right, in the reviews. So, and I love Tim Yohannan, but some of that got a little over the top. And then it happened in electronic, too. I remember asking Pear, I was helping out the Porno for Pyro guys, and what's the difference between chill wave and dubstep, Pear? And he says, Mike, it's the BPM.
The beats per minute, huh?
Yeah, right. I was like, damn. Okay.
Slow rock, medium rock.
Yeah, right.
Fast
right.
rock.
It gets trippy like that, man. Look, we're at the end of the second hour of May 5, 2021 edition Watt Pedo Show. Special guest Ben Wright. Hold tight for hour three. May 5, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedo Show.
Cut flowers in a broken vase, water seeping all over the place. Long stems, heavy with grace, crimson slowly fades. Mm-hmm. wallpaper over all of the walls. Cover the cracks, cover the flaws. Cover your mouth before lightning bolts. Escape from the vaults.
Vienen a contar cositas malas de mí, manda a todos a volar y diles que yo no fui. Yo te aseguro que yo no fui, con puros cuentos de por ahí, tú me tienes que creer a mí, yo te lo juro que yo no fui. Si te vienen a contar cositas malas de mí, manda a todos a volar y diles que yo no fui. Todos me dicen por ahí que tienes cara de yo no fui. A ti te dicen yo lo vi, tú me tienes que creer a mí. muchacho que yo no fui.
Yo te aseguro que yo no fui.
Tú tienes cara de tiburí.
Yo te aseguro que yo no fui.
Chaparra que yo no fui.
Yo te aseguro que yo no fui.
A ti te dicen y yo lo vi. Si te vienen a contar bonitas malas de mí, manda a todos a volar y diles que yo no fui. Todos me dicen por ahí que tienes cara y yo no fui. A ti te dicen y yo lo fui. Tú me tienes que creer a ti.
Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show. We started the third hour off with Shake the Vaults, Benjamin Jane. Then Sheer Accident, Mescalito. Chicha Libre, Yo No Fui. Untitled from Peacher Mentality with Patrick Miller, Immortality. It's Tom Smith. Modern Blonde, Brand New, Candyland Theme. And finally, Talking Heads, Benjamin Jane. So who wrote the words? Who got Shake the Vaults going?
Amanda.
Okay. For example, have we played any yet that you got going first?
Yeah.
Which one?
Dark Skies I wrote.
Dark Skies.
Talking Heads I wrote. All the Wash Away I wrote.
We just heard Talking Heads. That's an interesting.
Yeah.
So and how do you find it? Well, obviously it's different because you went first. Shit. But besides that, the point of you going first is it's just different. Like you expresses different parts of you guys' personalities.
Yeah.
Because now, hey, you would aid and abet me. I aid and abetted you.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too, if somebody writes a tune. Like, for example, Shake the Vault, she wrote that one, and originally it was kind of like a slower kind of jazz waltz like I was talking about offline. And then it was for our first record, High Low, and we couldn't ever get the click.
Yeah.
And then I, just on my own, I just reorchestrated the whole thing, slowed it down, and made it more kind of like a, definitely more just kind of a slow rock, I don't know, almost in the vein of like the National kind of approach. And it just worked. You know, so it's neat to take somebody else's work and then see it kind of realized in a different way than they intended it to do.
Yeah.
So,
like a kind of a ballad treatment.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just shows you, yeah, that, well, it's the human touch, I think. You know, form is form. But then when the humans get involved, I think that's when you flesh it out and shit.
Yeah.
It's really kind of interesting. And then the other idea, too, that maybe the tune ain't ready yet. So you put it away and you brought it back later.
Absolutely. So yeah, you can't force it. If you're not feeling it, like you said, the human touch, you can't force those emotions. And you got to just wait around until they happen, if they happen at all.
Yeah, I think there was a great Motown philosophical statement. You can't hurry love. You just have to wait. I think another lesson to be learned there is don't throw shit away because it might come in handy down the road.
Absolutely.
Now, I hear this in John Coltrane. I'll hear statements like, in Love Supreme, you hear part of Alabama. And in fact, on the story, he even wrote that at the bottom. He said, requote Alabama. Yeah, and why not recycle? You know, it's like, well, I'm never going to repeat any of my words, like you invent new words every time you speak. Yeah, you end up repeating some words, right? Especially some fucking articles, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, here's another good one. Waiting for Life. I love this idea, Waiting for Life. You know, I wrote a song called Life is a Rehearsal. Because obviously it is bullshit. You can't wait. It's on you. You're right? There's no take two.
to touch your hand, I'd like you by my side, I'd like to hear you talk, hear your voice while I die. Waiting for love, waiting for love, waiting for love, waiting for love.
what I have got? Do you want what I have got? Do you? Do you? Do you? Adelie penguin, African penguin, chin strap penguin, emperor penguin, erect crested penguin,
God in our heaven,
Portland penguin,
and I do
Galapagos penguin.
What would you have? What I do?
Humboldt penguin.
What you want?
King penguin.
What I have got?
Little blue penguin.
What would I have got? Do you? Do you? Do you?
Erect crested penguin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro. We're just talking about, Ben actually lived downtown L.A., and I was telling him not too long ago, people didn't live down there that much because it was heavy. And now, you know, about what time when you were here?
I moved out there in 2000 and, that's a good question, 2005.
Okay, 15, 16 years ago. Things were starting to change, and yeah, you know, the 2000s, but like in the older days, more older
days.
Yeah,
I was down in like, we call it the Palette District.
Right.
Some of us lived down there. Yeah, you know where that is?
Absolute. And that used to be a very heavy neighborhood, but things, you know, the only thing that's constant is change. And how long did you live out here?
I was just about 3 years.
Okay, that was enough. But Pedro here, one thing we do got is happening weather. It's like always spring and fall.
Well, I got to tell you, for me, after 3 years, I come from the Northeast where it's four seasons. So after three years, I was getting bored of the beauty, and I came back here. And now I'm saying, what the hell was I thinking?
Well, we do got mountains. If you ever, you know, there is some snow about 40 miles away.
We go hiking on Bali.
Right. Mammoth, Big Bear. I got to tell people last music for this edition we heard, The Waiting for Life, Benjamin Jane. Then the Nemus from Weishtaka. Glimpse Trio with Kogan. Do You Waltz What I Have Got, the Veda Hill. She made these songs from fucking ads in Craigslist, you know.
Is that right?
Get me off. Yeah, it's fucking, what, you got to find source somewhere, right? Zombie Crash with Halloween 2008. Evening Star, Tomorrow the World. This is the Max Single version from Groove Fill Ratio. In fact, he, Big Bear, he's a mechanic man, but doing music on the side up there. You know, what was really rough for them was those fires we had about 6 months ago. The pollution from the fires was really bad up there. And then finally, Theater for Benjamin Jane. And Theater is kind of a good way of describing this record in a trippy way. It's a mind theater for me when I was listening to it. Yeah, because it conjured lots of imagery for me, you know. I just love the shit you evoke with what you and your sister did and Drew.
Thanks.
Just the three of you, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. But many layers and much development, like you were saying, sometimes. Well, probably sometimes it came together quick, right? And then other times it took, like you said, months.
Yeah, well like I said offline again, is with Waiting for Life was written and recorded first in 2006 out in L.A., and then it was shelved and then brought back to life this year. You know, it was apropos to, like, what was going on with the shutdown in the world, and so it was inspired by all that stuff that was going on this year, and just was able to finish it up.
Like Mr. Orson Welles said, no wine before it's time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you were living for those 3 years downtown L.A., were you in any bands?
So I was actually working, there's a company called the Doolab in L.A.
Dublab.
The Doolab.
Oh, okay. Yep. I know of Dublab and with Frosty and that shit.
Yeah, no, different. These guys were doing event production, and they actually throw a festival called Lightning in a Bottle.
Oh, yeah, okay. And that happens out in the desert, right?
Yeah, yep. And those are my buddies from high school, actually elementary school. We all grew up together. So,
damn. Small world.
There,
fuck.
What's that?
That's a small world, shit.
Yeah. So I did music for, they had like a theater troupe, like kind of a circus and dance.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I would do music for that and perform with them, and also do the event production, like do the staging, and then we did an installation at Coachella that I would do with them when I was there.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of art with them and music, and then I played musician for hire where I could, you know, just get hired to play a gig or whatever.
This thing called the Recycler. It was a pink paper that came out on Thursdays, and the ads were for free. And that's where everybody bought their shit, their cars, their instruments, and also opportunities to, you know.
To gig?
Yeah, or whatever, embarrassers. And the ads on that station, must have own gear, transportation, no flakes. Like, you know, you call up, like, you know what, can you give me a ride, and can I borrow your amp? And, by the way, I'm a flake. Yeah. One time I answered one of those ads, because D-Boom wouldn't make a punk band with me at first. And I jammed, and went up, and it was on San Marco Boulevard in West Hollywood. And we did I Want to Be Your Dog, Stooges, for 3.5 hours. And I told D. Boone, he said, okay, I'll make a band with you. So I never played with them again. But can you imagine? And we didn't even do the other part. It was just the first part for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, but I had never played with anybody besides D. Boone. I never answered an ad before. And
yeah.
So you coming out and doing that for 3 years, that's pretty bold. That's pretty bold. Where can people find you on the internet, Ben?
Let's see here. Well, we're on all the normal stuff.
Yeah.
Suspects. But
do you have your own website?
Yeah, we have a website. It's BenjaminJane.com.
Okay.
So
that's Jayne.com.
Jayne.com, correct. Right. Yeah.
Jane from, there was a great Swell Maps album in the late 70s called Jane from Occupied Europe. Check it out. Yeah, Swell Maps. Both the brothers who ran that band are now passed away, but Nicky Sudden and Epic Soundtrack. But there's great record. Swell Maps is a crazy-ass band. Big honor to have you on. When you and your sister make another record, will you come back on the show, Ben?
Absolutely, man. Love to be back.
Yeah, it'd be beautiful. Okay, keep on keeping on.
All right, man. I appreciate the time.
Sure, brother. May 5, 2021 edition, Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.